Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
This is something to celebrate. Yesterday, we had, I don't know how long it's been since we've done this, but we had a men's prayer breakfast here. We had 100 men show up on a Saturday morning for a men's prayer breakfast. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. We're going to do another one in August. So if you missed that one, we're going to come at you again, and we're going to do one in August. And we're going to do it at our East Rock campus. Last week, I started by talking to you about different logos, images that have stood the test of time as we think about the cross and its impact over time. And I showed you an image of Coca-Cola, and I showed you an image of the Nike logo. If you were here, if you weren't here, you can think of, I mean, Coca-Cola, 140 years this fall, they'll celebrate, and their image hasn't really changed. Here's an image that stood now for a long time. It actually started in 1977. It'll appear on the screen behind me. It's gone through some different iterations and some changes, but when it first came out, it was on the one that was all the way to the top right. Steve Jobs hired a guy by the name of Rob Janoff, and he asked him, "Can you get us some kind of logo that we could use, not just for computers, but in all our products that we're starting to invent?" And it would just be, as soon as people saw this, they would know, oh, okay, that's our product. So it's changed a little bit over time. He said, "Can you make it simple? Can you make it easily recognizable?" And so here's the image that, you know, again, it's pretty much the same other than the coloring of it. He did say he wanted a bite out of it because he didn't want people to confuse what the fruit was. It was this easy idea that, okay, well, it's not a cherry and it's not a, this is an apple and there's a bite out of this. I wonder what you think of when you think of this product. Now, some of you are big Apple fans. Some of you hate Apple. Some of you are like, no, we don't like that. Most of us just look at this and we see dollar sign. That's the image we think of. I want to show you a couple pictures of crosses. This cross stands in Effingham, Illinois. And it was started by a church and a couple people in the church who wanted, at the intersection of where their church was located, to put up a sign and a symbol of hope and freedom. It stands at 198 feet tall, and it's 113 feet across from one end to the other. It's on I-57 and I-70. And the reason they wanted this, they knew it was a busy intersection. Listen to this. They estimate that 50-plus million people see this, not by stopping, just by driving on that highway every year. 50 million or more people see that. Now, I've never seen that in person. Maybe some of you in this room actually have. That's a pretty amazing thought. We're going to put this up. We're going to spend a lot of money because we want to send a message to people who we don't even know so that they would know there's hope and there's freedom offered to them. It's just this reminder. I don't care if you're a trucker or your family on vacation or maybe you live in that town. There's no possible way that you could drive by this and not pay attention to it. Here's another one. This one is a little bigger. This is called the Branson Cross. This is the largest cross in our country currently. Although I heard they're building one in Texas because everything's bigger in Texas. So they're building one that wants to be bigger than this, except their football team. Just saying. The Branson Cross, it was built in 2019. It's the tallest cross in America. It's 218 feet tall. It's, you know, this monument, you can see by looking at the guy standing in front of it. And they had the same idea, that they wanted people who would drive by their property to say, oh, look at the symbol of hope and freedom and victory this offers. They decided to put teardrops on their cross. There's 8 teardrops that go from top to bottom, and the 8 teardrops, they said, were for the 8 who were saved along with Noah. And they wanted to send a message that there were 8 who were saved, but this symbol, it offers you a chance to also be saved. There's 5 drops across the crossbar. 3 for the nails, 1 for the spear, and 1 for the crown. It's a symbol of God's grace extended to all. Now to my favorite one. This is my favorite image of crosses. Probably everybody in this room knows exactly where this is. This is on Interstate I-81, about 45 minutes north of here. It was erected by the Reformation Fellowship Church. I didn't know this till this week. I was in a meeting in just outside Philadelphia on Thursday. I was on my way back there on Thursday, and I'm driving in this direction, and I thought, I'm going to show a picture of this week. I should stop again and just pull in the parking lot and just... And so I did, and I went, and I got underneath of that center cross. It was a holy moment. These 3 crosses were started... It was the dream of a former Nazarene pastor, Jay Allman. And he had this idea, same thought. I want to put up 3 crosses, and I want for at least 2 miles or more people who are heading north to south to be able to see this in the daylight or at night. So they have these, you know, massive, massive light structures at the bottom of these crosses. So when you're driving up and down 81, you can see these 3 crosses. 150 feet is the cross in the middle. 125 feet are the 2 side crosses. And then they have the flags there at 120 feet. They said that the day that they went to clear the ground, to break the ground, to put these crosses in the ground, a bunch of black snakes appeared. And the day that they dedicated the crosses, you can read this, as the pastor was dedicating the cross, some snakes were in trees and just came down and hung in the trees. And the pastor said, I'm more convinced than ever. These crosses are supposed to be here, and they're going to bring hope, and they're going to help people in probably ways we've no idea that they would. It's a symbol of freedom, not of, sadness or mourning. It's victory. I'm in Mark chapter 27. Last week we talked about the shadow of the cross and what it cast across history. Today, the forgiveness of the cross. I don't know if you paid attention to any of the lyrics you just sang, but this is about the forgiveness of the cross today. 2 rebels were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads. I spent a lot of time last week talking to y'all about the mocking, making fun of, insult part that Jesus endured. And saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross. Key point. Hey, Jesus, why don't you come down? One of the criminals essentially asked that. Why don't you take me down out of this? Save yourself, come down from the cross. If you are the Son of God, in the same way the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. I want you to think about, and I'll show you a picture of it in just a second, all of the characters who have assembled at the center cross. And which of them is not mocking him? Because when we read these scriptures in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all seem from every direction, whether it's the soldiers, the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, the person on his... I mean, they're all just, it's just all coming at him from all these directions, and they're all going after him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the rebels, too, who were crucified with him, they also mocked and made fun of him. So now here's a painting slash etching. In the middle 1600s, the artist Rembrandt was obviously very taken with many, many of the stories in the Bible. This was his rendering of Jesus and the two thieves. It's in black and white, which is even more amazing to me as you look at this picture. I wish I should have just got a copy for everybody to take for the next 2 weeks and just study the images of the people that Rembrandt in his mind thought this is probably what it would have looked like. There is a central image, which we're going to get to in a couple weeks, which is facing Jesus on his knees. But most of the others either are ignoring or they're mocking or they're hurling insults. But Rembrandt was the painter of light. And Rembrandt, even in a black and white picture, figured this is what it would have been like for the two criminals. One he paints or etches in the darkness. And the other, there's a change that takes place. And you can see the one to the right. Something has happened. And that person hanging on the cross, the repentant thief, is in the full light of Rembrandt's etching. It's a beautiful picture of, wow, one of these two individuals, all of a sudden, there's a change, and they get it. Luke chapter 7, there's a story here that I want to just add to what we're talking about today, the forgiveness of the cross. This is not the cross scene, by the way. This is before the cross scene, and Jesus is at the house of a Pharisee. And at the house of a Pharisee, he was invited there, and a sinful woman. Remember, this is Luke. Luke loves to address the women. A sinful woman enters the room. What's the implication here? She's a prostitute, probably. She's a woman of the street. She's made some bad choices. And she shows up in this scene, and people are horrified, and she just begins to worship Jesus. And in the middle of that, one of the disciples is a little troubled by this. And listen to what happens in this scene. As Jesus begins to provide, before it ever happens, the forgiveness that's offered. Not just to her, but to us. Jesus says to Simon, I've something to tell you. And Simon said, tell me, teacher, what you got for me? Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. Now he's going to give him a story. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Okay, Simon, here you are, Broadway math student. You're in geometry slash maybe you're in algebra. Oh, no, you need organic chemistry because there's a lot of math in that. I'm going to give you a math problem. Here's the math problem, Simon. 500 or 50? Which one do you think has been forgiven more? Now, I'm not a math person. You probably already guessed that. I usually just looked at scoreboards and knew that the higher scoreboard meant you win. In this case, Jesus is essentially saying, there's a scoreboard that's got 500 on it. There's a scoreboard that's got 50 on it. Which of these people, when the debts are forgiven, do you think has more gratitude? And we're like, well, come on. Jesus, you're a rabbi. You're a teacher. You're supposed to give us a harder problem than that. Simon replied. Listen to this reply. Read the reply. I suppose. What do you mean you suppose? You're going to fail the math class, Simon. This ain't a hard problem. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, the teacher said. And then he turned toward the woman. He's looking at her, but he's still talking to Simon. And he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. She wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not even give me a kiss. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, which would have been a sign of you're really welcome here. Thanks for being here. You can stay as long as you want. But she has poured perfume on my feet. And therefore, I tell you, her many sins, plural, have been forgiven. As great her love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little." And then Jesus said to her, "Your sins, plural, are forgiven." I'm just curious. Don't get mad at me for asking this. Some of us are in this room today and we've forgotten how many sins we've been forgiven for. We've been in church for so long. We've been in a life group. We know this story so well. We're holiness people. And I'm not asking you for the next 2 weeks to think about all the sins of your prior life, but I am asking you, how long has it been since you had an honest conversation with God and you would say, "I don't know where my sins stack up with all the great sinners in the world, but I'm grateful that you forgave me." And I can tell you, as a person who grew up in a Christian home with two wonderful, godly Christian parents, I did a lot of dumb, stupid things that a good Christian kid in a good Christian home should never have done. And sometimes I forget. And sometimes I take it for granted. And sometimes I cheapen it. And I just have to come back and say, "God, oh, there before the grace of God goes me." 500 or 50, it really doesn't matter. But I would say there's some of us in here who are so far probably, or think we've done so much that this cannot reach me. And you'd be wrong too. There was a man in 1940 who had a burning passion in his heart to share the gospel. And he decided that he was going to build a 12-foot cross. And in the center, you will see him carrying this cross. His name is Arthur Blessed. Arthur Blessed just passed away this past January, 14th of January, 2025. He spent over 50 years carrying this cross. The cross gave him an opportunity, a visual and an audio version, or an opportunity just to share the gospel, the good news. So he carried this, listen to this, over 43,000 miles, over 85 million steps. He traveled to 324 nations. For 50 years, this man carried this cross everywhere. 50 of the countries he went in were at war when he entered the country. And he just saw it. "I'm just going to carry this." He started in Hollywood, California. Imagine that, of all places. And he just literally carries this thing. It had a little wheel at the bottom of the cross so that he could carry it. It weighed about 40 pounds. And he just carries this thing everywhere he goes so that he could share good news. It was interesting, he shared in one of the documentaries that I listened to that half of the churches in the towns that he would go to would not let him and his wife store their cross overnight. But he said, "I was never turned down by a club or a bar to leave my cross in safety overnight." Wow. Do you know that as part of the forgiveness of the cross? Are you listening? You're invited to do what this man physically did. We like the idea of Jesus. We like the idea of victory. We like the idea of being a Christian and all the benefits that come with it. The healing, the forgiveness, the maybe one day we'll get to go to heaven. But the reality is, this guy portrayed what the invitation of the forgiveness of the cross offers. What is it? Would you just come and die? I don't know if I want that. 10 of the 12 disciples, violent, brutal, awful deaths. Are you guys okay? Are you interested in coming? What's the offer, Jesus? Die. Come and die to yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Luke chapter 23, I want to revisit a scripture that I was in last week. The idea of the root Latin word for crucifixion, by the way, is excruciating. Think about that. When they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals. One who mocked him, the other was mocking. One on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." They divided up his clothes by casting lots. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. He went from mocking Jesus to now he's defending Jesus. "Don't you fear God?" That's good theology. Fearing God is actually the reverence of God. He's speaking theology in this moment. He doesn't even know what he's saying probably. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man's done nothing wrong." I want you to get the order of this. There is mocking by everyone. There's mocking insults by both criminals. Jesus then speaks. Are you still listening? Jesus then speaks these words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And then one criminal changes in this moment. And another criminal now jumps to his defense. And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when?" Not if, not hopefully, not possibly. "Jesus, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" Kingdom? If he's saying kingdom, that means he must have recognized him as a king. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says this word, truly. He's the only one who says this in the New Testament. He says it 76 times. The King James Version would have said verily, but he says the word truly. It's as if, hey, everybody listening, I got something to say, and this is ultra, super, incredibly important. What I'm about to say after this, truly, because I'm the only one that says it, and I say it 76 times, so hang in there. And he tells him, this criminal, this wasn't the, "Oh, you got a speeding ticket, we're going to crucify you." This was a criminal. This was a bad man. This was a guy who'd made horrible choices that he deserved a public crucifixion. And Jesus looks at him in this moment and says, "Truly, I tell you today," not sometime later, not go to purgatory, not you're going to have to wait for a while, not, well, if you go wait at the bottom of the stairs in a couple years, somebody will usher you up to the brighter light. Today, in this moment, right now, you will be with me in paradise. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody could say it louder. Today, we don't have to wait. And he didn't have to wait. What's paradise? It's a reference to the garden, but it is anywhere that Jesus is. That's paradise. He acknowledges a king. He says, "When?" I wonder today who would sit here and think, "I probably have gone too far." I wonder today if you would sit here, and I want to just ask you this before I show you this video. What side of the cross are you on? Which side are you on? And some of us, we do think, "I've gone too far." Do you know that 1/3 of all Americans have a criminal record? More than 77 million Americans have a criminal record. And we're wondering if, well, it's not worth a crucifixion. What would you have said that day? I was going to repeat this, but he says it so much better than me. Alistair Begg is at the end of one of his messages, And he asked and makes a beautiful statement here while asking a question that I think he says it better than me, so I want you to get it. We have on one side a criminal who insults. We have on the other side the forgiveness of the cross demonstrated in the last moment for a man by Jesus. Watch this.
I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You'd never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. Then go get the supervisor in you. So, wait, just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? Guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of Scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come.
That's you and that's me. How'd you guys get in here? You went to the Nazarene church? You're in life group? You gave some tithe? Nope. The man on the middle cross said we could all come. Wow. I told Jeanette I didn't want to watch it today. I said, Jeanette, I've watched this 10 times this week. I cry every time. Because when I get in, it'll be because the man on the middle cross said, Kevin, you can come. Stand with me. Would that be your reply? That the man on the middle cross said, you can come. I've had a prayer that's been haunting me all week, and it's been this. Lord, forgive me for taking your forgiveness for granted. Lord, forgive me for taking your forgiveness for granted. Which side of the cross are you on? A lot of people, to be honest with you, they don't want to come to this cross either. You know why? In the words of Stephen Manley, because this will bleed all over you. This one will bleed on you. And then you've no choice but to have your life changed. I just want to offer you a chance. I can't share these words. I can't preach this message 2 weeks before Easter and not offer you a chance to respond. Nobody's going to know why you come. But maybe today you just want to come and you have maybe the same prayer that I have. Lord, I don't want to take your forgiveness for granted. Maybe you're over here on this side and you've been waving your fist still quietly in his face and you just need to come and you need to say, I'm done with that. Or maybe you just need to come and you need to say, I just need forgiveness. Or I'm grateful for the forgiveness. You just want to come today and you want to bow and you want to get on your knees and on your face before God and you say, because of Jesus, I have been changed. Before we sing this song again, we sang it once, but just listen. I made a covenant. You made a covenant with me, signed by the blood that still speaks. Now I'm forgiven. I'm called righteous. I'm made clean. There on the cross at Calvary, you gave it all to purchase Kevin, me. You are the Savior and the God who set me free. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe today you just want to celebrate that. And you want to do it in a public confession of doing it again before him just to say, Lord, I don't want to take any of this for granted. I want to pray just before we sing this and celebrate and worship. Lord Jesus, I believe you're speaking. I don't know who. I don't know who you're speaking to. I know you spoke to me this week. I don't want to take your forgiveness for granted. I don't want to run from this central cross because I'm afraid it might bleed on me. I don't want to shake my fist in your face ever. I'm grateful that you said I could come. We could come. And all we have to do is say, we believe in you. Would you forgive us for the times when we've acted like you're not enough? Lord Jesus, would you move people's hearts today? There's hope and freedom because you said we could come. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.